Tonight, my sharing I've entitled Paid in Full. Have you ever been asked, what is your credit like? Or what is your credit score? You know, credit basically your kind of an indication of what your payment history has been like, is generally making a financial obligation or a promise to pay for something at a future time through calculated payments until the debt is satisfied. And so these credit payments, they may at times include interest, which allows the person, you and I, to pay less than the full amount over a preset agreed period of time for a predetermined additional fee. These are not things that come as any surprise to you. Credit scores, boy, ever been asked that question? Maybe you ask that question to yourself. Maybe husbands and wives ask each other those questions. What's our credit like? What's our credit score like? Do you think we can qualify for this, qualify for that? Do you think we can? So many things in the material world are based on a person's credit worthiness or their credit score. And generally, a credit score is a three-digit number, usually on a scale of 300 to 850, that estimates how likely you are to repay borrowed money and pay your bills. They're calculated from information about your credit accounts, and then that data is gathered by credit reporting agencies, also called credit bureaus, and they're compiled into, yes, what are called credit reports. You may or may not know the three largest bureaus are Equifax, Experian, and TransUnion. So when you apply for credit, there's a search done based on your Social Security number and possibly other factors to see what your history is and what it has been. And then these scores are calculated through various means to indicate the likelihood of the risk involved in extending credit to you. And if a person is not able to keep their financial obligation, they may find themselves in a position to declare bankruptcy, which is a legal ruling that frees the debtor from any and possibly all of their financial obligations. In a judicial sense, in a legal sense, the debt has been forgiven and they are freed from the responsibility of those debts. You know, ideally in the material world, it's a good idea to do your best to keep the promises you have made, right? But even then, we fall short sometimes. So tonight, rather than belabor your credit worthiness or not in the material world, I want to make the connection in the spiritual world, because spiritually speaking, according to the scriptures, we have all, A-L-L, all without exception, all mankind from Adam until right this very second have fallen short. Take your Bibles, please, and go to Ephesians chapter 2. We'll be reading a couple of verses here, starting verse 11. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11. Because spiritually speaking, according to the scriptures, the Bible, we have all, or let's say it, we have it all at one time or another fallen short. All mankind, from Adam until right this very second, have fallen short. But there's good news coming. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11. Remember, therefore, wherefore remember that you, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without God, we were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Romans chapter 3, verse 23. We don't read these verses very frequently, but I thought it'd lay a great foundation for this topic of paid in full. Romans 3, 23 in the King James Version says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All have come short. Romans 3:23 in the New Living Translation says, "For everyone has sinned, we all fall short of God's glorious standard." And we inherited that. In all of our lives, there was a huge debt that has been and is still by many carried by the since the fall of Adam. It's a debt that we incurred and inherited by default, let's say, as a result of being born into a fallen world. It has been the debt of not being able to fulfill the requirements for God's righteousness spiritually. No amount of sacrifice, no amount of prayers, no amount of good works or religious activity would do it or could do it. We couldn't even begin to pay for it. There was only one way it could be done, and God himself provided the answer in the person of Jesus Christ. He was the payment by way of his blood and body, and he achieved what no other thing or person could do. No man, since the beginning of time, has been able to fulfill that obligation and pay the debt in full, except one, the Lord Jesus Christ. He paid the price in full for our redemption, our release out of this fallen world. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 2, it says, "He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world." He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. Colossians 2:13. "When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us. He has taken it away, nailing it to the cross." Once we receive Christ into our lives, we receive the righteousness of God, which is now fulfilled in us, and there is no limit to its value or to its greatness. The doors of heaven now are always open to us. And as one person so aptly said, God's bank ain't busted yet. And God's bank will never be busted. Go back to Ephesians chapter 2. I want to read this a little bit further. It's just so cool to read through these verses and these scriptures and sort of reflect and meditate and mull upon the reality. Man, when you get your mortgage paid off, or you get a bill paid off, you get your car paid off, you know what? You're busting the buttons on the front of your shirt because you got a document in the mail that had a big stamp on it, right? It said, "Paid in full." You no longer have any obligation to whatever that collateral was that somebody else was holding. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2. We'll just be reading straight out of the King James. "And you he hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience, among whom also we had our membership, our conversation, our citizenship in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." Even by nature, what does that mean? Like I said, we inherited, we assumed, we got by default sin nature. Sin nature. Verse 4, here it is. But God, who happens to be rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us. Even when we were dead in sins, he hath made us alive or quickened us together with Christ. By grace, you're saved. And not only that, he's raised us up together and he's made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. Do we deserve any of this? Absolutely not. For we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. You know, somewhere in the Old Testament, I'm going to find it one of these days, or you can text it to me. It says, all felt flesh is as filthy rags. You know, on our best day, we couldn't pay the price that was necessary for our complete release from the debt that we inherited. And there was only one. Verse 8, for by grace, like Dan so wonderfully shared, God, by God's amazing grace, we're saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. There's nothing we could do to work for it. It just says, believe on the name of the Lord Jesus, and you'll be saved. You'll be made whole. Oh boy, how about this last one? It is the gift. It is the gift of God. You don't have to work for a gift. Once you receive a gift, it's yours. It's been given to you. Oh my gosh. It's almost like we stepped into the bankruptcy court ready to just throw in the towel. And Jesus Christ kind of waved his hand from the back of the room and stepped up and paid all our debts in full. So that we've been released, we've been freed, we've been redeemed. It's a gift. Verse 9 of Ephesians chapter 2. Not of works, lest any man should boast. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in him. It says again, remember, you were in the past, Gentiles in the flesh. You were dogs. You're called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands. You can look that up later, maybe in another version. But at that time you were without Christ. You were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenant of promise, having, here it is, no hope, and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were far off are made close. How? By the blood, the perfect blood, the sacrificial blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because, verse 14, he is our peace, who hath made both one, hath broken down the middle wall partition between us. He abolished and blew to smithereens in his flesh the enmity, the separation, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. Oh my gosh. Verse 17, he came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. And we are built, you are built, and this is built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Wow. In whom all the building, fitly joined and framed together, grows unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you are also builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. God doesn't live in the temple anymore, like Deanne so graciously shared last Thursday. Where is God? Well, this verse right here says, in whom you are also builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. This has been God's great design, that he would live in those who have invited and embraced the Lord Jesus, and then ushering them into this full fellowship with the Father. And each individual person now has that God in Christ within them. So I'll ask you this question again. How's your credit history now? You know, if there was a number beyond 850, well, maybe there is. You probably know better than I. Yours is in the millions or trillions or whatever, because everything has been paid in full. Every obligation you have, at least in the spiritual world, has been paid in full. And we received, and we still receive everything freely with no obligation to pay anything back. That final notice came, and you know what it said? No payment due. We stamped the page. The stamp has been placed on our life. We receive the Holy Spirit, which is a down payment of that which is to come, right? But in the meantime, we freely receive, guys. Free. We have been made free. Now, we can live as free men and women who walk by the Spirit of God and express so many wonderful, great, cool things. Love this verse in Romans 5:17. We'll close there. Romans 5:17 says, "For if by one man's offense death reigned by one," well, who was that one man? Adam. It says, "much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ." One man's offense brought death. It says, "much more they which receive abundance of grace and then the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ, God's only begotten Son, the man that God called to pay the perfect price for my redemption and yours." Amen. Father God, you are so kind and good to us. There is no way we could even ever begin to repay. And I hope we learn, Father, in the course of our lives, our daily living, that we don't need to. We no longer need to prove our worthiness. The material world may try to force certain guidelines of standards of righteousness upon us, but spiritually we're clean, we're pure, we're accepted, we're beloved. And I pray, Father, that we just so thankful for the beauty of your love and grace and what it's done for us in our lives. And we pray in the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.